Boy, it's certainly great to be here with you today. Thank you very much for being a part of Azalea City. Again, we have folks out of town, but I am so thankful we have you here. I'm so thankful that our God is here. I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity to worship Him, and we've been worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. For those who've led us in our worship, you've done a phenomenal job in directing our minds where they need to be, and so I appreciate you very much. To those who are unable to be here watching the live stream at home, we appreciate you as well, and those, we hope you, if you're traveling, you'll be safe, but also if you're sick, you'll get better. We're cheering you on. Going to start a series today. It's something that you've probably seen a lot. There have been a lot of books written on the subject of Giants Must Fall, Slaying Giants. The reason I'm doing this at this time is because I believe, again, around the mid part of the year, January has left us, right? That was our New Year's resolution. That was when we were making decisions to be renewed, to be better, to be what God wants us to be. And so with that, we felt pretty good at the beginning of the year. But then, you know, as time gets away from us, sometimes we get distracted, we get busy, we get things going on in our lives, and we start losing focus a little bit. I'm not saying that happened to anybody in here, but chances are it may have. And so we lose focus a little bit, and so we've spent all year trying to get our attention on being renewed, being where God wants us to be. But the devil wants nothing more than for us not to be renewed. He wants nothing more than for us to just be able to throw our hands up. He wants nothing more than for us to be able to say, hey, I give up. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being in the Lord or being trying to do what's right, and then all of a sudden things aren't going well, and so I'm frustrated and I'm burnt out and all that. So what I try to look at that with is He puts giants in our lives. You think about giants in history, right? They're of course the Bible giants that we're going to talk about, but even as a little child, my dad would always tell me about Jack and the Beanstalk, and I've told that story to my children. And you remember the giant, and he was fee-fi-fo-fum, right? I smell the blood of an Englishman. And you know, and he wanted, Jack was in his way, and he was going to crush him and those things. And so in folklore and everything else, we talk about giants, and they're scary because they're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. A lot of times they're mightier than us. And so we kind of cowered down. And so When the devil throws something in our lives that we're really struggling with, that seems to be one of those giants. But I'm here to tell you today that I believe that God put the story of David and Goliath in the Bible because we need to slay or allow God to slay those giants. We need to get those giants out of our lives. Now, I'd love to tell you in this next slide, as you can see, we've got a few pictures there. The first picture on the left-hand side is Elmer Fudd. Now, I'm concerned about our kids today not knowing who Elmer Fudd is. But when I was coming up, Looney Tunes was really a big deal. And of course, Bugs Bunny was a big deal. And so, what happened? Elmer Fudd would try to hunt Bugs Bunny. And you know, he would talk about being quiet. Hey, be very quiet because I'm hunting rabbits. Well, he never got Bugs Bunny. It's kind of like Wile E. Coyote trying to sneak up on the Roadrunner. He never was able to do it. I'd love to tell you that Satan is Elmer Fudd. Just clumsy and just not very good at hunting us. But unfortunately, he's that lion. He's that lion right there, and he is very good. And he's calculated. And he's strong. I can't stand admitting that about him, but he is. And so I saw a video the other day, and I believe it to be true. I know you can do a lot of things with videos, but it seemed to be pretty legitimate video. There were all these big, strong guys playing tug-of-war, okay? And they're pulling on this rope, and they're pulling on this rope, and you got your anchor, and he's trying to, if you've ever done tug-of-war, you know. and the anchor's trying to push back, and they're trying to pull, and man, they are doing everything they can, and it's like four of them, and they can't budge, and they pan the camera over, and there's a lion holding it the other end in its mouth. They could not budge that lion. That's how strong they are, just in their mouths. The Bible describes Satan as a roaring lion. He's a giant, folks. He's not going to beat us if we do not allow him, but he's not clumsy and he's not silly and he's not cartoonish. He is not trying to sneak up on us and tell everybody else to be quiet. He's calculated, he's crafty, he's cunning, he's a liar, and he's coming after our souls, and he throws giants in our lives to try to get us to get distracted. But here's one thing I want us to remember, and that's the third picture on there, is what Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, today, we're not here to fail. We're here to win. Jesus Christ didn't come to this earth to keep us down or for us to stay down. He came to this earth to raise us up. And so with that in mind, we need to understand today that if I, through this midway point of the year, January to December is where we're trying to get to, here we are in July, if I've gotten to the point where I've lost focus and I've been distracted or I've been conquered by the giant in my life, I want you to know that Jesus wants you to live. He doesn't want you to die. He doesn't want you to perish. So the question has to be then, what is our giant? I believe all of us have struggles. There's not a person on the planet that's not tempted. You see, Satan came after Jesus Christ, so don't think he's not coming after you and me. He tempted Jesus. He's going to tempt us. But sometimes we are haunted by our giants. What is your giant today? Maybe it's fear. Maybe you're afraid to step out and step up. You know, that's a problem or a challenge with a lot of people. They have fears. And you know, there are certain fears I have too. There are certain things that make me uneasy, that make me queasy. And, you know, I had a lot of apprehension about, going back to school. I mean, it's been 20 years. And I mean, I've started my master's twice and didn't finish it either time. And this third time when it came up and had the opportunity and, you know, it's something I've always wanted to do. And I had a lot of apprehension, but I just plunged right through and now I've got one more semester left and I'm done. And so, you know, when we're able to get up and get out and conquer those fears, man, it's just a load off, right? You know, I think Wednesday night or maybe it was last Sunday a couple weeks ago, talked about these papers due. Man, I turned the last one in at 10 o'clock last night. So, you know, you feel, and that's how we can feel today, relieved, right? All that pressure off of us. It may be fears that, maybe it's rejection. Maybe your giant is rejection. Hey, I can't go and be a part because nobody's going to like me. Nobody's going to accept me. And you know, we almost go in there with that mindset. We go in there with a mindset that, hey, I'm going to be turned down. And so almost we go in and we're like, okay, can I help you? All right, you didn't need me to help you find before the person even says anything, because rejections are giant. Maybe it's lack of self-worth. You don't feel confident in yourself. You don't love yourself. You're not happy with yourself. And the devil tries to hold you down and don't love yourself. Don't feel like you can do this. Feel like you're always a failure. Do these things. Maybe that's your giant today. Well, guess what? We can slay that giant today too and throughout this study. Or maybe it's lust. And we're kidding ourselves if we think lust is not a giant in people's lives today. I know that statistics will show that it is a problem with men, but the further and further the moral downfall happens in our country. It's happening men and women. And you know, it's on our phones. It's our temptations on our phones. It's on our devices. It's in our internets. It's everywhere we go. And I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a time when there's a lot of people in marriage counseling because they are addicted to pornography. Maybe lust is your giant. Maybe it's gossip. Boy, some people love a good story, don't they? They just can't wait to tell or talk. And you know, and sometimes we, we love that moment, and we try to, and I'm not talking about being concerned for somebody and asking about that person. I'm talking about when you are just flat out running a person down. Or somebody else is running a person down, and we're just talking about them, and we're trying to hurt them and trying to belittle them, and maybe that's your giant. Maybe it's controlling the tongue. I mean, no man can contain the tongue. The Bible said that. And so if we do not have God in our lives, active in our lives, we haven't allowed Him active in our lives, then guess what? We could have a problem with our tongues today. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's cursing. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe it's hate. There's a lot of hate going around in the world. A lot of hate over color of skin. A lot of hate over political parties. Man, just a lot of hate going on. What is your giant? What's the devil putting in your way? I don't know what it is. Maybe you don't have any. Maybe you've slayed them all, and I'm proud of you for that. God is proud of you for that. But here's what I do want us to know as we get into this lesson today. I want you to remember that whatever your giant may be, it's not bigger than God. Okay? I know in your heart you amen that, right? But whatever your giant may be, folks, it's no match for our God. If fear is your giant, if rejection is, if lust is, if gossip is, if lack of self-worth, whatever your giant is today, it is no match for our God. And we can prove that biblically, can't we? 1 Samuel chapter 17, right? 1 Samuel 17. And listen, I know we understand this story. We've heard this story and we appreciate this story. But here's some things I want you to know. That first of all, it's a giant war going on between the Philistines and Israel. And it was at a make or break time. You remember Israel was on one side, Philistia was on the other. There were these two cliffs that they were on, and really there was a valley in between. And so they would come out, Philistia would come out, or maybe even come down in that valley, at least Goliath per se, and they would cry out every day, come and fight me, come and fight me, come and fight me. And Philistia just went out with confidence. Why? Because they had the number one soldier, the champion of the world, if you will, the heavyweight champion of the world in their corner, and that was Goliath, 9 foot tall, huge man, champion, never been defeated. Again, very strong, very big, very intimidating, and Israel had nobody. They didn't even have their king to step up. They didn't have anybody that would step up, and that went on day after day after day. There was one voice, Goliath. There was one man that stepped up, David, and there was one challenge, and that was to defeat Goliath. But I want you to understand, whether it's no voice, no man, no devil, no thing is any match for our God. You know, the story goes, Goliath falls, right? Goliath falls, and that story is something that we've all probably had a time at least learning or acting out, being in Vacation Bible School. You know, we do these devotionals and such. And when Bo was young, I told this story before. I gave an Academy Award winning performance one night as Goliath, and he was David. And he had these little balls of paper, and man, he could throw them and hit me and whatever. And so he hit me, and man, I did this dramatic fall, you know, and I'll pick that story up a little bit later. And so I was illustrating that story to my son, and because we know that what happens, he falls. Goliath gets hit in the forehead, and he falls to the ground by one of those rocks. But here's what we may forget. Okay, that day in Israel, that day for Israel, the giant was slain. But here's some other things you need to know about 1 Chronicles 20, verses 4 through 8. Verse 4, 1 Chronicles 20. Now it happened afterward that war broke out at Gezer with the Philistines. At which time, forgive me on the pronunciations as I butcher these, Sibekai, the Hushathite, killed Sipai, who was one of the sons of the giant. Did you hear that? Sibekai, the Hushathite, kills one of the sons of the giant. And they were subdued. Verse 5. Again, there was war with the Philistines. And Elhanan, the son of Jair, killed Lami, the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. two more battles. They send two more giants out, and now they've died. Verse 6, yet again there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature with 24 fingers and toes, six on each hand and six on each foot. And he also was born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. Verse 8, there were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Not only did he slay Goliath, but he took out the whole family. And so today, I want you to know, there's not a giant in Philistines, there's not a giant in your life that our God cannot kill. You know what happens? Sometimes we accommodate the giant in our lives. Now, I'm not saying we don't want to overcome the giant. I'm not saying we don't want to overcome the fear, the rejection, the sin, or whatever it may be that's holding us back. We want to overcome it, but you know what? We just kind of let them hang out in the shadows. And we accommodate that giant. Well, today I don't want you to accommodate the giant. We got to destroy the giant, even if he's in the room with us. So here's a serious question. And I think we all need to ask it to ourselves as I ask it aloud. Do we believe that Jesus is bigger than the giant in our lives? I believe everybody would say yes. We wouldn't be here today if we didn't. If we truly believe that Jesus is bigger than any health concern, any emotional concern, any struggle we may have, if we truly believe that Jesus is bigger, then we need to remember the word win. W-I-N, okay? Because that's what we're here to do today, right? We're not here to lose. I want to win. I mean, let's face it. You know, I want to beat my kids in Uno, so I want to win, all right? I'm not one of these daddies that's like, oh, let me just let you win. No, I want to get all the draw force and give them to them. You know, I want to win. Why? Because we have that competitive nature, and you have that competitive nature. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ didn't come here to lose, and He didn't lose. He slayed the giant. He slayed the lion. And so today, I want you to remember when, and I want us to look at the story of David and Goliath to lay the foundation of this series of lessons. Here's what the W should stand for. Number one, we are not David. Let me illustrate that. 1 Samuel 17, if you're there. You remember David, he was sent by Jesse, right? His father, to take care of his family, to specifically take them food and different supplies and such. What they needed. He was there to give them what they needed. So what happened when he got there, he heard, right? He heard that Goliath was making this challenge. And he also realized that the people, they needed somebody to step up. They needed a champion to step out, somebody that could defeat this guy. The people needed a hero. They needed a savior. They needed hope. I mean, Israel had gone into hiding. Many had gone and they had crossed over and they were in caves and different places. And they're like, oh no, the world is coming to an end. And by the way, when that giant is in your life like that, you feel like the whole world's coming down on you. You feel like you're going to suffocate. You can't breathe. And you know, you hit these panics and these moments. And I feel like, oh no, what am I going to do? You remember that commercial? Calgon, take me away, right? I mean, that's what we want. Just get me out of this. Well, there is hope. You see, David showed up. There was also a time when God's people needed a hero. They needed hope. And they needed a savior. But here's what we got to remember about the story of David and Goliath. And here's where I need you to understand. In the story, I've always related me to David. And maybe you've done that as well, right? That we can relate to David. You know, hey, he's here and he's battling the giant and everything's great, but I don't want you to think of that story that way. Because if you do, we sometimes don't enter the fight. I want you to remember that David in the story is really Jesus Christ. You see, what I mean by that is this. They needed a hero. They needed a king. They needed a champion. They needed somebody that could slay a giant. They needed a Savior. Israel did that day, and God sent David. We, His Israel today, needed somebody to kill the lion. We needed somebody to give us hope. We needed a hero. We needed a Savior. And God didn't send you, and He didn't send me. He sent Jesus. So when you think about when David walked in that field, it was really Jesus walking in that field, if you think about the illustration, to fight the devil. That's what the representation is. David versus Goliath. Now don't get me wrong. Israel that day won. They won. When David took the head back to their camp, they celebrated. You remember they were dancing in the streets and they were saying, Saul slain his thousands, but David, you've killed the tens of thousands. And they made him king. Well, today, Jesus has cut and severed the head of our giant. And we can bring it back to camp, and the church of our Lord today can celebrate because our Savior defeated the enemy. You see, we're not David in the story. Jesus Christ is, but we belong to Jesus. And David belonged to them. And so we need to understand you don't have to fight the giant alone. I don't have to fight the giant alone. 40 has always been a significant number in the Bible. 40 days in Noah's day it rained, right? Then what happened? A rainbow. The rainbow. Not one that represents sin, but one that represents promise. The rainbow brings promise. God said, 40 days, 40 nights, I'm going to baptize this world. I'm going to flush it out, right? But then a rainbow. 40 years Israel was in the wilderness. 40 years they wandered. 40 years they struggled. 40 years many of them died, right? But then the promised land. 40 days, a rainbow. 40 years, promised land. Verses 16 and 17, 1 Samuel 17 now. And the Philistines drew near and presented, the Philistine drew near, that's Goliath, and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening, but don't miss verse 17. Then, 40 days, Goliath comes out. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to destroy you. You're going to bow down to me. You're going to bow down to me. I'm going to be your king. I'm going to be all this. 40 days, morning and night. 40 days, but then verse 17 says, Then Jesse said to his son, take now for your brothers an ephah of the dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp. 40 days. Goliath stole all their hope. 40 days, Goliath brought tremendous fear. The son was sent by the father on day 40. Jesus shows up at just the right time. You know what today is with your giants? You know what today is? Today's day 40. Today's day 40. You got to remember that Jesus Christ is here and Jesus Christ is ready to slay your giant. And in verse 46, David tells the giant, this day, the day after day 40, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. This day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. This day, today, July the 21st. Okay? July the 21st, right now, today is your day 40. It's time to kill the giants that are haunting you in your life. David said he wasn't going to do it though, right? He said it was the Father. Maybe you've been trying to sling that stone on your own for a long time. And that giant, no matter what you do, you can't hit him. Maybe you knock him down every now and again. Maybe you send him away every now and again, but you keep throwing that sling because, hey, we're David. We're David. We're David. But what we've got to do today is let Jesus sling the stone for us. Today, we've got to give it up if we're going to truly win. Number two, the I needs to remember, we need to remember that it means influenced by God. Again, 1 Samuel 17, God's all over this story, right? Goliath is cursing, he is taunting, and he is mocking Israel, and he is mocking their God. Think about that. 40 days now, he comes out. Maybe day one, he's got a little, I don't think he had any lack of confidence personally, but maybe day one, he's not as confident as he is day 39, right? Because day one, hey, they might have somebody over there I haven't noticed. Maybe they got somebody, they've been hiding in some rocks somewhere and he's going to come out. But I believe Goliath was overflowing with confidence. But for 40 days, he came out and he cursed them and their God. He taunted them and their God. He just hurled insult after insult after insult for 40 straight days. Whatever period of time it's been in your life, your giant has sat over there in the corner and said, I own you. You're mine. You will do what I will make you. You might feel confident today, but watch this. And they turn some notch and that fear comes over you. That rejection or that sin, that temptation or whatever it may be pops up right there. The devil's got it programmed in us just right so that it pops up at the very wrong moments. The most awkward moments. So I want to ask you, what are you doing to prep yourself? You know what the hero was doing that day for those 40 days? He was out in a pasture somewhere watching sheep and worshiping. Writing songs of praise to our God. You see, he recognized that power didn't come from him as the shepherd, but it came from the good shepherd. Remember this. God wants you and He wants me to be free from giants, both little ones and big ones. We can all ask God to make us free, but we can't do it for our own glory. We got to do it for the glory of God. We've got to be able to get rid of these giants so that God can receive the glory, and that's where our influence must come from. We need to allow God to remove the giants in our lives so others can say, wow! Your God is truly the God. Listen to what David said to the giant, verse 47 again. That all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. You see, David didn't say, hey, I'm the one going to kill you. He said, no, God, He's got this. This battle's already won. I gave this battle to God out in a shepherd's in a field one day when I was shepherding sheep. I just said, God, you take care of me. God, lead me. God, direct me. And God, lead me to victory. And he said, this battle is won. It's over, Goliath. And that's the way we got to tackle. And that's the way we're going to overcome our giants in our lives. God, take this away from me. Slay this giant, because when I can overcome this fear, this rejection, this lack of self-worth, this lust, this gossip, this sin, whatever it may be, God, when I overcome it, I'm going to use everything I can to bring glory and honor to your name. Watch the giant fall. You see, we're influenced by God. We're influenced by His glory. You know, the way I look at Goliath is this way. You ever seen the picture of the earth? I mean, we live on this earth. We know how big it is, right? We're little bitty compared to this earth. But have you ever seen the size of the earth compared to the sun? You see, that's the way I believe David looked at it. Goliath felt pretty big about himself, but then compared to God, he was nothing. And that's the way our giants are trying to tell. They're trying to tell us in our lives right now, whatever that giant may be, whatever's in that room haunting us, okay, they're trying to say, hey, I'm bigger than you. I'm bigger. But It's a blink of an eye. It's an eyelash or smaller to God. And we need to remember that. So let's be influenced by Him. And then thirdly, we just got to come to this conclusion. Hey, there's going to be no more giants in my life. Again, 1 Samuel 17. If I'm going to win, you're going to win over the giant in our life or the giants in our lives. We got to remember to let Jesus do the fighting, right? That's number one. We're not David. Number two, we got to remember, hey, I'm influenced by God. I'm going to bring glory to Him. And then number three, there are no more giants that I'm going to allow in. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not suggesting try this, but I read this somewhere. I mean, some of you may have experience, but I don't really want to find out. But you know when you kill a snake, okay, you cut the head off a snake, what's the body doing? It's still got nerves and everything. It's a real creepy thing, right? It's still moving and all that. Do you know that if you were to kill a rattlesnake, okay, and allow it to decompose for 6 months, and you came across and you saw this decomposed skeleton of a rattlesnake, and you stepped on that dead carcass of that rattlesnake, do you realize there'd still be venom in that carcass that could be injected into your foot after 6 months being dead? So what's the point? Suppose today we came in here trying to praise God, but we still have that giant laying around. Yeah, we've overcome it for a period of time, but we still got it in the shadows. Hey, it's dead. No, Terry, it's dead. It's gone. Nah, man, there's still venom in that giant. There's still struggle. He's got one more battle at least left in him, okay? Going back to Bo, I told you I'd pick back up there. Again, I give this Academy Award performance. He throws this piece of paper. Thankfully, it wasn't a rock. There are days he probably wants to throw rocks at me too, but this piece of paper, man, he hits me. I give this dramatic, you know, I'm all out. VBS mode, right? I give this fall, and he's a little bitty thing. And I get up, and I said, man, and that's the story of David and Goliath. And I could see he was troubled. Yeah, maybe 3 years old. Two. I didn't want to get into the gruesome part, you know, so I ended the story right there. I said, what's wrong, buddy? He said, that's not the end of the story, Daddy. I said, what do you mean? He said, I have not got to cut your head off yet. So much for that. BBS teachers and Sunday school teachers, y'all done taught these three-year-olds violence. Now, seriously, here's the point. If a three-year-old can understand it, we can too, right? David throws... Do you think Goliath was dead? I don't know. Okay, here's what I do know. The Bible says he was dead. But I've heard people debate it. Oh, he was knocked. Man, don't give me that. It says he was dead. I'm going to go that he was dead. When David threw that rock, and he threw it. Now, again, he is pretty good with his sling. He had a lot of time to practice, remember? He throws that. He lets that sling release, and that rock hits him, man, and it just falls him dead to the ground. But he didn't leave him laying there. Maybe it was just in case. Maybe it was, hey, I'm going to show that I truly conquered him. But he didn't leave that carcass there to get back up and have a battle. He took his sword and he severed the head. And he carried it back and said, now who's taunting? Now who's cursing? Now who truly is the giant? And today I want you and I to know, just like Bo said, the story isn't over. If that giant in your life is laying over there in the corner, we got to sever the head. We got to finish the deal. One reason to show the enemy that this big mouth will never taunt God's people again. I want to close with one last story. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 5. You know what happened in 1 Samuel 4 and 5? The Philistines were thorns in the flesh, right? They were thorns in the flesh to Israel. So before Goliath, they went and captured the Ark of the Covenant. They went and captured the Ark of our God. Now, the Ark of the God, of the Covenant was huge to Israel. Remember, in the Holy of Holies, it would stay there. Nobody could touch it. The high priest was the only one, right? He could enter the Holy of Holies and you know, it was a beautiful box made, you know, in all these dimensions. It had these angels, and they come up and they touched. Their wings did, and the presence of God dwelt right there. Now, that wasn't God, but it was their representation on earth of God, right? So you know what Philistines do? They capture the Ark of the Covenant. They take it to the temple of their god, Dagon. And they're like, hey, we just defeated Israel's God. Our god, Dagon, is so much bigger, is so much better. And so they said, hey, let's celebrate. And they drink and they party and everything else. They leave it there that night. It's just a box, by the way. They come back in there the next day, and they find that their god Dagon had fallen on his face before the Ark of the Lord. So you know what they did? They spent the day getting that big statue of Dagon back up. They get all these workers and everything else, and they get this statue and they prop it back up. They're thinking, man, this thing, how did it fall? You know, and I'm sure that they secured it more and maybe mixed up some more concrete and things and put in there. And man, this thing is secure. It's not going to fall this time. The next morning, Dagon had fallen again. Only this time his head and his hands had broken off and landed on the threshing floor, or landed at the threshold of the door. So you know what? When the Philistines walked in, they knew beyond a shadow of doubt that no God can stand before our God. Today, whatever that giant is, it can't stand before our God. Ultimately, they sent the ark back. Today, come in. Open the door. He's waiting. He's longing. Be immersed in water. Be renewed. Slay the giant. Let's stand and sing.